What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. That does not feel like a Monday because we have things to do. We have to rise. We have to grind. We have to chit-chat with one another because Jackie's finally back in New York, back in studio, back at it again.
I'm so with the excited. White vans. With the white loafers that trigger everybody. And that's how you know I'm back because the white loafers are back. And you know what?
Damn, Jackie. Back at it again with the white loafers.
Yep. That's me. I can't believe you said it doesn't feel like a Monday because to me, of all the Mondays that have ever come across my desk, today is the Mondayest Monday of all Mondays.
You know what? This is going to be like an opposite day kind of episode. I'm feeling so positive. Like maybe it's because you went to that wedding. So like I had literally off from Thursday.
Yeah.
So I'm so well rested. I actually didn't do anything that crazy this weekend. I was very civilized. I got tons of sleep. I did, like, took really good care of my skin and my hair. And, like, I got a new hairstyle. You didn't even comment on it.
I was waiting for a gap in the... I was waiting for a space in which I could speak.
This is a safe space, always, to give compliments.
I was going to, and I was saving it because you have this cute new little look going on. And I don't want to... I don't want to say anything offensive, but the time that I most recently saw it was yesterday on my TV watching Love Island.
Okay, so a lot of people have been commenting on my new hairstyle being like, are you inspired by Olivia? Okay, and so while she might be wearing this haircut, I didn't notice it. I saw this TikTok thing.
Okay.
Where one of my favorite makeup artists, she does hair too. Her name is Erin. She did this thing where she did this and then she took them and twisted and I started to do it and I couldn't do the twisty thing, but this was the first step and I'm like, this is cute.
It's really cute. You're looking so cute today.
I just want to say like, I did not take it from Olivia. Like, okay. I really need that to go on the record.
Like, I knew that you didn't. I just wanted to let you know that I did see it on her.
No, you're not the only person. Like, I got millions of messages. People being like, oh my God, inspired by Olivia. Like, no. If you watched my stories last night, you know that I do not stand with Olivia.
Yeah, I understand and I agree. And I'm pretty much caught up on Love Island. I'm one episode behind.
You didn't watch last night?
No, but I was catching up.
Skip it. It was 2 hours long. I'll tell you who went home. It was not even exciting. The whole episode, it was really like one of those Paramount Plus specials. Like they played a game the whole time. Each of the girls got like an undercover operation to do. Whatever. We have a really big TV recap.
We have so much to talk about. Like, where do I even begin? I don't even know.
I don't know either. Like, it's been so long since we podcasted, first of all.
Well, we podcasted on Wednesday. So I guess that's like...
And it's been so long since we've been in studio.
Right. And I feel like I have to catch you guys all up on...
How was your weekend? Where did you go? What did you do?
Okay, so my weekend was so wonderful. I was at Blackberry Farm for a wedding, my friend Jess, and it was such an amazing, beautiful weekend, beautiful couple. Like, everything was just so beautiful. And I was with Dana because we met Jess on Birthright, and Dana and I went on Birthright together.
Oh, I didn't realize. It was one of your Birthright friends.
Right? Isn't that so fun?
Wow, gotta go on Birthright so somebody I know can get married at Blackberry Farm so we can spend the weekend there. Booking a trip.
Literally. Also, like, this is your sign to go on Birthright because it's literally lifelong so much fun.
Friends.
And Dana and I were just, like, reminiscing on Birthright the whole time, and it was so much fun. Really was.
Birthright is, like, it's a birthright for, like, you know, Jews who grew up on Long Island. But actually, that's not true. No, everyone from all around the world.
It's all Jews. And even, I don't know what the minimum amount of Jewishness you have to have. I think you could meet a quarter Jewish.
Yeah. But the thing is like, just the kind of makeup of the trip is...
torture.
It's really like the antithesis of who I am as a person. It's lots of hikes and bus rides and early mornings.
And museums.
Museums and, like, you know, boxed food. And personally, I think it's so important to know your body and more importantly to know your limits. And I drew a line in the sand. I'm not even eligible, but like at a point in my life I was eligible, but I just knew it's something I would deeply regret. Not the experience or the knowledge, but the journey.
Yes. Everything about Birthright, like the schedule, you are jam packed. And we, Dana and I actually went on a trip with the oldest group possible. We went when we were 24, which is actually old for Birthright. Most people go in high school. And it is weird to have so much structure when you're an adult. Totally. And it's like you're on a field trip and it's like, but I'm 24, you know? Totally. And like you get these pockets of free time and it's just like, why aren't I just in Israel doing my thing? But like, you know what? It's so worthwhile and you do things that you would not bring yourself to go and do, but you learn so much and it's just such a great experience. And they really have it like down pat, you know?
And you made friends to last a lifetime.
And we made friends to last a lifetime.
And you got invited to Blackberry Farm.
So I think it's a win-win-win. And so it was so nice to celebrate.
How was the facility, the grounds?
The facilities were so sickening. Mm. They were so amazing. It was camp, by the way.
Did you say it was bucolic?
Bucolic, farm chemin. It was sickening the barns down.
Mm. The barns?
It was so campy. Like, AC was peaking.
It was camp as in nature, not camp as in high fashion.
Right.
But actually, but some of us, that would have been a good caption.
Some of us brought the camp to camp. Some of us did.
Ben literally, we in the car, and I was like, do you see Jackie? She looks amazing. He's like, yeah, how did she pack that dress? I'm like, actually, I'm so glad you asked. We have a Patreon vlog. She did her entire packing journey on our Patreon. Like, you should check it out if you're really curious.
You should check it out. And it took up like my whole luggage, which is why I didn't have any clothes for the rest of the trip, which is why I barely posted on Instagram because I was wearing the same thing over and over again. But I will say, I didn't check luggage because our flights, we had a connecting flight and there was just a lot going on. We flew an airline I never flew before and I was just like, I don't want to leave anything to chance.
Airline have you never flown?
Allegiant. From Florida to Knoxville. It's like a regional airline, right? You probably never even heard of it. So I was just like, I don't know how Allegiant does.
How their bag carrying skills are.
Right. So I was like, I don't want to leave anything to chance. I don't want to lose this dress and like ruin my weekend. So we're not going to check luggage. And when I tell you about my travel day yesterday, I don't know how we would have gotten home.
If you had checked a bag.
Because we would have been stuck. And I'll tell you about it in one second. But I just want to say Blackberry Farm was so amazing. And it was so camp, but it was also so wellness focused. Mm-hmm. Like Friday, we did like massages.
Did you find yourself going back to your Pritikin best self?
I really did. It was like a mini retreat, which I always can use.
Always.
And I was so relaxed. Dana and I, we just like love to like sit in pretty places and read. So we were in actual heaven. It was such a wonderful weekend. I was, you know, so excited to come home just because of Brew.
Of course. Of course.
Honestly, being away from Brew really threatened to ruin my entire trip. I was like low-key depressed the whole time.
Welcome to the mom life.
It was so, so hard. I couldn't think about him too much because I would get emotional, but I couldn't stop thinking about him.
Of course.
It was so difficult. Like, oh my goodness.
It's a true DeAndre's choice to think or not to think.
To vacate or to be with Brew.
So true.
Be with Brew. Anyways, yesterday, so Blackberry Farm is in Knoxville. So yesterday we had a connecting flight, Knoxville to Atlanta, Atlanta to Newark. We took the 8:50 a.m. flight because we're like, that gets us home by 12. So we left the premises at 6:45 to make our flight. We get on the plane. Everything seems to be going smoothly. There's something broken.
Always.
We're sitting on the plane. I fall asleep on the plane. I wake up on the plane. We're still on the ground. Oh,
that's the fucking worst.
And like you can see in the front, like everyone pretending to do stuff, like talking about the maintenance guy. They keep saying, you know, we're going to try to reset the system. Like you're going to unplug it and plug it back in.
No. Also, it's like in those situations, you really want to get off the ground. But then it's like you're working with like a rebooted plane. Like, it's like you don't know what you want.
I know.
To get in the air and like probably go down or to sit on the tarmac. Like, I truly don't know what's worse.
No, and I said, like, they should let us know what's wrong with the plane and we can
vote. We should decide.
We should vote. Is it something?
And if you're not comfortable,
is it something we can live with?
Right.
Is it an air conditioning issue?
Right.
You know, or is it, you know, one of the wheels won't go down?
Right. Or like an engine's not on.
Right.
How, I agree. Like, how dramatic is it?
Because I've been on flights before where you get delayed because the toilet's not working.
Someone's seatbelt doesn't work. It's like, just get off the plane. Like, take one for the team. No, I agree. Sometimes it's like minutia that delays a plane. And it's like, this is what we've been sitting around for?
Yeah. So unclear what the issue was. They kept saying it's a control issue. They were giving us nothing. And I'm pretty sure they were just going through the motions and they knew this plane was never taking off. So after about 2 hours on the plane where we already like would have been in Atlanta, whatever, they deplane us.
Ooh.
And we
realized. What's worse than the shame of reverse planing? Like, oh my God, you're like you're so lost and you're so hopeless.
Yeah. We realize we're not getting anywhere on this plane because they can't figure this out. Like, it's just not happening. Our best chance is getting a new plane, but we're in Knoxville. Like, nobody's respecting this little flight from Knoxville to Atlanta.
And there's not just like a million flights. You go, let me just hop on this United. Like,
no.
And it's not like a major hub.
The plane that we need, like, is coming from Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I was with Zach, Dana, and her fiance, Josh, and we were just like, we need a plan. We had booked backup flights because we were already missed our connecting, but there was no plan in place for this flight.
Hate a planless flight.
And it's a really small airport with not a lot of options.
So they have good food?
No, but it was still really early. Actually, they had like no food because then we decided to rent a car to drive to Nashville and take a flight from Nashville to JFK.
Who drove?
Josh drove.
Thank God for Josh.
And that's when I got hungry. We stopped at Dunkin'. And, you know, Dunkin' sometimes is, I love Dunkin' in general, but sometimes it's hit or miss. They have a
quality control issue.
They do. It's like each franchisee, like, just decides whether they want to take a shit in the food or they don't.
Totally. Like, do they want to use yesterday's donuts or make fresh ones today? Like, there's such quality control issues. I couldn't agree more. Like, you can get the same thing at four different Dunkin's and they'll be different colors.
No, I got my Dunkin' order. Like, I love Dunkin' when I need a breakfast fast food item because I get those egg and cheese wraps, maybe a few assorted munchkins, a coffee.
Oh. Assorted munchkins.
And when we were coming back from the Hamptons a few weeks ago, we stopped at a Dunkin' that was poison. Literal poison. And you know what? I was feeling kind of like PTSD when we pulled up to this Dunkin'. I was like, what am I going to get? I ordered so much stuff because I was like, it's so hit or miss.
Rolling up to a Dunkin' is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
It's like a box of munchkins.
You do know what you're going to get because they all look different.
Yeah, I guess, unless you just put your hand in.
Oh, yes, unless you're blind, for sure.
Anyways, we roll up to Dunkin', we order the feast, and it was delicious. It was good. Just what we needed, fueled us up. Even the coffee was good, which good, is, you know, good, that good, was good. So surprising. So we fueled up, egg and cheese wraps were so good. I did ask for assorted munchkins, and they definitely gave me the least popular flavors. They didn't even give me a glazed.
Okay, here's a great question.
I asked for 10. They gave, because I was like, do your thing. The guy seemed nice.
What are you, like,
nice.
Keeping an Excel spreadsheet of the donuts?
I had to recount it to the group, and you know I have a good memory. There was 4 blueberry.
Oh, what nerve.
4 chocolate.
So good.
The most, and then 2 powdered. Nobody even touched a powdered.
In your opinion, of the traditional, I'm not talking about like the new blueberry, the traditional munchkins, what is the best flavor?
Glazed.
And then?
Chocolate, I guess.
Yeah, me too.
But like that wasn't an assortment when you just give me 3 and one of them is like your special flavor.
But also do not write off the jelly filled.
I don't even know if it was jelly filled. We didn't even get to it.
Not powdered jelly filled, glazed jelly filled.
Oh, interesting. So interesting. So Duncan fueled us up. We drove to Nashville. We realized on the way that we're driving through a time difference. And we were like, oh my God, do we gain or lose an hour? Because Nashville is central time and Knoxville was eastern time.
You're kidding me.
You know when
me.
We go to Nashville, it goes 1 hour back.
Yeah, of course I know that. But you're saying in the same state?
In the same state. So in Knoxville, it was eastern time and we drove west towards Nashville and we entered a new time zone.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm just really struggling. I really want you to get to the end of your story, but like, I'm really struggling with this new piece of information I'm just learning. There's 2 different time zones in one state.
I think in a lot of states, they have different.
Twisted. What? Who thought that would be helpful?
No, and it's like we had to do quick math, and it turned out that we gained an hour of travel time, which was good. But if it had been like the other way,
you would have missed the flight.
We would have missed the flight, and we wouldn't have realized we'd be driving towards nothing.
Oh my God, stop. I would have been so confused. Like,
yeah, it was really confusing, and the car clock didn't change. I had to like manually change it because we were getting like so mixed up.
That's turned.
So we get to Nashville. Honestly, the drive was like pretty pleasant. Like Tennessee is just like so stunning.
I know.
And luckily, like no one had to pee or anything. We were just like all enjoying our Dunkin'. And we made it and we got to Nashville and we got to the gate. We had like about an hour before we boarded and the plane took off. And
did you shed a tear?
It was so beautiful.
No.
Can you believe?
Yes. I mean,
is why I did not want to check a bag, because if we waiting for our Knoxville flight, how do you get your bags off to
you
the check bags?
You can't. This is
the
thing.
We would have had no agency in the situation, and we kept checking that Knoxville flight, and I don't know if it ever took off. When we landed, it still hadn't taken off.
The thing is that I personally would never have found myself in that particular situation, because I'm always the one to opt to fly into the major airport and take a longer car ride. Like, I went to Morocco, and we were going to Marrakesh. But you fly into Casablanca, and then you drive 3 hours to Marrakesh. Now, some people took the connecting flight. We were all going to the same wedding. Everyone on the flight was like going to the same wedding.
Yeah.
So some people took the 1 hour flight and some people took the 3 hour drive. And we all got there at the same time. And I just had to sit in a car for 3 hours. So I just have to say, this is your sign.
No.
Like, always go to the bigger airport and then take a car.
Like, flying into Nashville and driving was not an option for anyone because there was, like, a perfectly good airport 30 minutes from Blackberry Farm. And I will say, when we booked our flights a few months ago for this trip, New York to Knoxville was a one-way trip. And then Delta, you know, and all their shortages and all these airlines. By the way, the airlines are out of control. What's going on there?
I know.
But Delta said, this is no longer a route. You're now flying through Detroit. Next day, you're flying through Atlanta. Every day, they kept changing the flights. So we got what we got. And I had been dreading this two-stop flight ever since they moved the flights to two stops. And it was worse than I could have imagined.
No, I'm actually nervous because I have like a similar adventure coming up. I'm going to Tully Ride, which in the winter is very easy to get to. In the summer, it's one stop.
There's less flights?
Yeah, because it's a ski destination.
Are there any days of the week?
No. No.
Are you sure?
It's a winter and trust me.
There's not one day of the week where there's nonstop? There might be.
There might be, but I can't go. Like, what, I'm going to go on Monday? The wedding's not till Sunday. I have work to do.
Bring your microphone.
But like.
Bring your microphone.
I worked so hard to find. I embraced my inner points girl. And I found a flight with lay flat beds on the way there. And then there's like the 30 minute flight like to Montrose.
But you don't want to drive from the major airport?
It's 6 hours. That's where I draw the line. That's why I'm saying I'm like in a similar predicament. It's like an hour flight. Not 30 minutes. Okay. It's just really long. Like, trust me. I looked into all possible journeys. And I'm just. Now that. I mean, obviously things aren't back to normal, but like people are traveling again. And it's like, I kind of didn't miss this part, you know?
No. I'm cured for life. No, I'll totally. Be sitting in this chair for the next 10 years, never going anywhere again.
Every time I travel, I'm like mostly have a negative experience, like pretty much all the time. Like I swear to myself, I'm like, I'm never traveling again. But then it's like the thirst for adventure, the wanderlust.
Oh, the what?
Just gets to
That's
me.
That's so you.
So me. I'm a points girl at heart. You can't. I had a dream. I killed the points guy. Murdered, like hardcore. It wasn't an accident. Like murder and buried his body. And then like the
first degree.
Yeah. The investigation was like getting really close to me. And like I knew my time was up. And I just like felt so sad that like I killed my friend. I was like so sad for his parents. Like so sad like for my social life. Like there was just so many elements to it. It was really a terrible dream.
So you must have been glad to wake up. No wonder you're in a good mood today.
Oh, and part of the reason I wanted to say I was in a good mood today is I changed my alarm. I moved back 30 more minutes. Just to give myself a little bit more grace.
Snooze time?
No, not even to snooze. Just to like move slower.
Moved it up?
Moved it back 30
okay,
minutes.
Okay.
Just to like move slower and like take my time. Like I fucked up my makeup on my foundation. I just started over because like I had time. And I think I'm going to keep that. I was really inspired by Margot. Like she wakes up at 6:30 to work out. I'm not that extreme. I just needed to wake up like a little bit earlier just to like enjoy my morning instead of like literally looking in the mirror and like hating myself, you know?
Yeah, I did have a long morning too. I woke up like way before my alarm because I went to sleep like an hour earlier due to the long day.
Mm-hmm.
She fell asleep early.
Yeah.
But I actually feel more rested the other way when I sleep as long as I possibly can. But you know what?
No, I don't. Like,
you gotta switch it up.
You would think like more time equals more energy.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think like just being rushed and like hating the way you look, like that ruins my day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I had time to do my TikTok-inspired, not Olivia, inspired hair. And, like, I'm just feeling myself, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to radiate that energy for everyone. Feel yourselves on these, it's Monday. Feel it. Even though, like, it literally looks like it's midnight here in our studio because the sun just, like, is gone and the scaffolding is just enclosing us in darkness, we're still here to be bright and shining.
It is technically morning. We didn't just record at night.
It's not the midnight toast.
And pass it off.
Yeah, no. It's fully August 10th.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it is. That's crazy.
That doesn't sound right.
No, it is.
August 9th. Okay.
Oh, my God. Single digits.
Single digits. There's a difference.
For sure. For
There's
sure.
a difference. Though I just like got randomly so excited for fall this morning.
Oh, my God. That's so weird that you said that.
Because you know how like your phone does like on this day and like I clicked it and one of the pictures was just me in like a sickening fall look. And I was
in
just
August?
Like.
In August?
They don't, it's not on this day, by the way. Just so you know, my on this day is just like.
Oh, on your photos app?
Yeah.
Yes, it's not on this day.
It's not on this day. It's random pics you might want to see.
Totally. I thought you meant time hop, which is very accurate.
Very to the minute. No, on this
literally
day.
To the minute.
So the picture that came up today was just like, you know, one of my sickening fall Fendi looks. And I'm just really excited to getting back to being her because August Jackie O is nothing of the sort.
That's so funny. I was having a similar conversation with Ben yesterday because, like, I'm so looking forward to the holidays. And I remember last Christmas being, it was snowing and I'm
last
like,
Christmas.
I remember saying to Ben, or like, no, I actually said it to myself. I said, next Christmas, like, I want to be in a different apartment because, like, I live in a bunker with no windows and I can't see the snow. And okay. I'm like, and now I'm like, it's August and I'm like still in the apartment. Like, I will not be in this apartment by Christmas. I want to see the snow. Like, I just, like, I need a shift in energy, you know? Like,
yeah.
Even the best apartments after a while just become somehow, like, toxic places.
I completely agree.
And I've reached my toxicity limit. Like, I'm so ready to move.
You know what we should do? We should apartment swap for like a week. What do you think?
Sure.
Except,
no, I mean, like,
except I have a queen
bed. I have to bring all my shit up.
No, but like, I feel like you know, you just need to like get outside, new perspective. Like, and I love your apartment. I think you like mine.
Yeah, of course. No, I just think like when maybe you're in a space that no longer serves you, it can be very mentally taxing. I'm being dead fucking serious.
No, I completely agree.
It can really contribute to like anxiety and season. Like, I really believe that it has a true impact on your mental state. And I feel like I'm now at a place where my apartment no longer serves me mentally or physically. And if I don't see the snow this Christmas, like, I know it's like sounds weird. It sounds like a Hallmark movie thing, but like, if I don't see the snow this Christmas, like, I'm done.
It does sound like a good plot for a Hallmark movie. Like, will she move before Christmas?
No, I know.
And then like, she, like, moves in and the snow's falling down.
And it's not for lack
Theo's
of trying.
Like, Mom, this is beautiful.
Exactly. Like, that's what I want. Like, I'm going to get my ass a Christmas tree. Like, for sure. Like, no. that's how convinced I am.
That's still the line.
But I just want to say, it's not for lack of trying. Like, the fact that I didn't move during the pandemic, like, literally haunts me at night because everyone thought like this was an apocalyptic state and like rent was literally down by 50%. It was so cheap. And there was one in my building and it was just like a little too much money. And now I'm like, you dumb fucking bitch, like, just spend the money, you fat, ugly whore. Like, I'm so mad at myself. Like, not a day goes by that I don't think about like not taking that apartment in my own building. Like, and everyone moved who like stayed in the city and like got such great deals. And now it's literally like highest rent since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
And it's not for lack, there's no inventory. Like, I check every day and it's just like what I want I can't afford, and it's like until then I just need to work harder.
Is the apartment in your building still available?
No, I literally email the realtor every day. I'm like, hey, I'm still here if you're looking for a tenant.
Damn.
Yeah, it's so upsetting.
Sometimes you have to learn the hard way and it's so hard.
I know, but sometimes I still think about the apartment and like it was too much money. Like, I stand by that.
Really? It was more than like you would put into your search criteria now?
No, but like the thing is, and I was talking about with Ben, like, I am so fiscally responsible when it comes to my rent and nothing else. Like, in
no,
my
and
life.
And also, you need to, like, you should loosen up a little bit because your apartment is where you spend all of your time. It's where you work. It's where Ben works. It's where Theo works.
Yeah.
And like, it's not just like you're one of those New York City people. It's like, it's just a place to sleep.
No, it's not. No. It's a place to literally exist.
Yeah. No.
No, I know. So I'm like, why am I so, and I just have like a really good apartment right now for like so little. It's like, I can't believe how little I pay. It's like so fabulous. But like, I think I need to like I'm constantly like spending money like it's nobody's business, but like not on the thing that matters most, my home.
That matters most, where you spend, I would say, 95% of your time.
97.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm currently working with, and just like, keep me on track. I need you guys to keep me accountable. Like, I will see the snow at Christmas. Like, I will.
Okay.
I will.
That's exciting. I mean, I think moving is just so much fun and so exciting, and I think change is...
I still just want, like, outdoor space. Like, I just... I need to elevate
my... Well,
now
life. You're crazy.
Really?
I don't know. I mean, you don't get it all.
I know. And, like, I just don't want a balcony. Like, I want a full-blown, like, terrace.
Yeah. No. Out of control.
Like a wraparound. Like, no, I'm fully out of control.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll look for you. That's, like, a fun
Please.
Task.
Like, I know Zach is always on Street Easy. Like, he's been sending me links. None of them are working currently, but, like, keep it coming.
Okay, cool, cool. That's exciting.
Yeah, so that's the journey, like, I'm currently on.
Nice. Well, now that
in addition to watching literally every single piece of television that ever existed that I can't wait to talk about in the TV recap.
I don't know how you do it.
Oh, my God. No, like, that's why I was excited to, like, that's why I'm not dreading this Monday. I have so much to talk about. Love is Blind, After the Altar, Love Island, OBX. I won't spoil it, but, like, White Lotus. Like, I just watched everything on planet Earth.
What did you think about White Lotus? I'm, like, two episodes behind, so don't spoil anything.
Hate.
Right?
Okay, no, I'm only on, like, episode two. I'm not even gonna finish it. Me and Ben cannot get through it. We're just like looking at each other. We're like, why isn't this show good? It's so slow, but like, Connie Britton's amazing.
It's
the cast is amazing.
Aesthetically pleasing.
Interesting premise. It's like Murder on the Orient. Like, what happens? it's atrocious.
Yeah. I said the same thing. I really
and we're so in the minority.
I couldn't put my finger on it, but I will say, so I think I watched 3 episodes and I haven't watched last night or the week before. And I'm kind of like looking forward to just to watching it more just because it's not unenjoyable. And maybe it just goes to like show the state, the low state of content these days.
Well, but there's so much good TV on. So I'm like, this is what everyone's raving about. When I first started, I'm like, oh my God, stunning. This Connie Britton
the
moment.
The cast is really great.
The cast. I was like, this is great. And then it just, the Jennifer balls. Coolidge, you saw his testicles.
I know. Crazy. I can't believe that didn't go viral on TikTok.
No, totally. And I was just like,
Jennifer Coolidge, but like, what is she doing?
I don't know. Like, she's being such a freak. I couldn't believe that. And that's maybe an unpopular opinion, but I just couldn't believe that this was the show everyone was like felling over.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. That was my takeaway also. Okay, but I am going to keep watching it. Just.
I might.
It was good enough. So now that we're all caught up, without further ado, it is time for the Fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Manly Bands. After countless hours spent jumping through jewelry store hoops in search of the engagement ring of your dreams, the last thing your man wants to do is run to the same gauntlet again for his wedding band. Now, thanks to Manly Bands, he doesn't have to. A godsend for brides and grooms alike. Manly Bands has awesome wedding bands in just about every type of earthy material imaginable, even from space. So Ben, like, has been on a journey with his engagement ring. He's lost it 3 times because like they don't really properly fit and mm-hmm. they're just like he's always twisting it. It's just like not conducive for a manly man like Ben. And that's why Manly Bands has been just like a true godsend because they're so customizable. Material, color, quality, super customized. To get started, have your man order the manly ring sizer from Manly Bands to ensure that his ring will fit perfect during the work and the play so that it won't fall off at Soho House. Once he knows his size, it's time for the fun part. Manly Bands has an insane selection of materials to choose from, like gold, wood, antler, steel, dinosaur bone, and even the meteorites that killed them. He can also choose from curated collections like the Jack Daniel's Whiskey Barrel collection. And if he's feeling more creative, he can customize his band from scratch, choosing the style, material, inlay, sleeve, and finish. Once he's selected his band, Manly Bands offers free shipping worldwide and a 30-day exchange policy with free warranty. So while there might be a 50% chance of your marriage working out, there's a 100% chance that he's going to love his band. To order his Manly Band to get 21% off plus a free silicone ring, go to manlybands.com/toast. That's manlybands.com/toast for 21% off. Manly Bands, the best damn rings, period.
Thank you for that, Claudia. Now our first story is actually our final Olympics recap. The Tokyo Olympic Games of 2020 held in 2021 are officially a wrap. They had the closing ceremonies. They passed the baton to Paris for the 2024 games.
I love how like no one watches the closing ceremonies.
Yeah. And they said that's that on that.
But the NBC Olympics did have a Jonas Brothers performance of Remember This, which is the official song of the Olympics. And it was unbelievably stunning. It wasn't live or anything, but it was still gorgeous.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Also, that's a song.
Yeah.
It's definitely a song.
I'm really looking forward to checking that out.
It was really good.
Also, the final medal count is in and the U.S. has eked out their win, 39.
Slim, by the hair on our chinny chin chin.
39 gold medals for the U.S. to China's 38, Ooh. Japan 27, Ooh. Great Britain 22, ROC 20. And in the overall medal count, the U.S. had 113, China had 88, Japan had 58, Great Britain had 65, and the ROC had 71.
I mean, it was touch and go there for a minute because, like, China was really ahead of us in the gold medals. We were never going to lose the overall. Like, we were ahead the whole time. But the gold medals is equally as important. And we were, like, really behind. And a couple people pulled it out, and I just think they deserve a shout-out. The indoor women's volleyball team, for the first time, I think, ever, won. Of course, men's basketball won. And, of course, women's basketball won. And I just found out that, like, the queen of the women's basketball team, Sue Bird, who I thought Ben might be in love with, she is married or dating to Meg Rapinoe from the soccer team.
No way.
So there's no way Ben can get in there. Thank God. And then, also, the women's beach volleyball duo team, the A team, filled with toasters, won. Thank God. So, like, that's when we really started to, like, ramp up on China. Like, the basketball, the indoor sports, like, we really just, like, cinched it. And it was, I'm so grateful, like, to every single gold medal winner for taking us there.
Yes, really exciting. And also, I'm just curious. So, clearly, like, the U.S. won the Olympics because we won in both categories. But say China won gold medal count and we won overall. Who won the Olympics?
The person who wins overall, I think. I mean, there's no winner. Like, there's no...
I mean, the whole thing is about gold, silver, and bronze, and then you're going to say there's no winner?
Yeah, I do feel like it's weird that there's not an official winner by country in terms of medal count, just because it is such a competitive competition. But there's not. So, like, there really is no considered... There's no winner considered.
I think that that is a mistake. Like, there should be, of all the Olympics, like, you know, 2014, the winner was... Actually, that wasn't in...
No, kind of how, like, there's all these international competitions, like Eurovision, there's a winner...
World Cup.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's kind of weird. It's like they brought it all the way to the end zone, but it's not across the line.
No, that's a really good point. But like in my mind, I've always like tallied up the winner in my head, but it's not an official winner.
Yeah. Interesting. Really interesting. But I'm glad to know that, again, there's no, you know, confusion and we don't have to duke it out.
Oh, my God. Alona Mar. Follow me on TikTok. She's like this women's rugby player who went... Like, she has, like, millions of TikTok followers because she was, like, TikToking through the Olympic Village. And one of her videos came up on my For You page and it said, follows you. And I was like, what? Ilona Mar follows me? So, yeah, I'm just, like, kind of, like, an Olympic influencer.
That's really cool. But we already knew that.
Yeah, no, like, not me FaceTiming drunk with Olympians in my bathroom. I actually spoke to Emma Coburn. I forgot to mention about our FaceTime because the last time we podcasted, I don't know if you guys listened, I was really kind of anxious about like getting blackout drunk and FaceTiming an Olympian, and I wasn't even sure if she like knew I was drunk or she thought this was like I was just like a weird person sober, and she said she definitely knew and that she loved it, so like thank God.
Oh my God, I told you.
You know, I had nothing to worry about.
That's so exciting.
It really is.
So that's that on that on the Olympics. This has been really fun. The good news is that the next Olympics are in less than 6 months. So we have that to look forward to. And you know what? I can't remember. I don't think I've ever watched the Winter Olympics since being a very proficient skier. And so now I'm really excited to watch because I think I'll have more skin in the game.
You know what? Once I said, like, once the Olympics are over, I will be, like, depressed. And I thought I was going to be. But I can't lie. I'm curious if other people felt this way. I felt very overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Between just like all the TV that's already on, like Love Island being on every night, all the Real Housewives, like there was so much TV to watch. And then the Olympics, which were on 24/7.
Yeah.
I felt very overwhelmed and not in a fun way. Like in the beginning, I was like, this is fun. I'm overwhelmed. But then I'm like, this is not fun. I'm not overwhelmed. So now that the Olympics are over, I just want to say I'm not as devastated as I thought I would be. Like I don't have FOMO. Like I'm actually relieved.
Yeah. I think you got your Olympics fix.
Yeah. And the fact that there's another one 6 months away, like I'm already feeling like choked.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah.
No, but it's so exciting. You'll be in your new apartment.
Like, I better be.
With the snow falling, watching the ice skating.
I better be. So when is what is it? January?
What, six months?
It's August.
February.
8 + 6, 14, February.
Cool. See you in February.
Yeah, I'll definitely be in my new digs.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, new spot, come through.
I'll be there. Okay, so...
We're officially
putting it to bed. Closing the book.
Closing the chapter. Oh, it's a chapter because the Olympics aren't like over forever. Closing the chapter on the Olympics. And if you're looking for a great chapter to read, head over to Amazon and check out my New York Times bestselling book, Girl With No Job, The Crazy Beautiful Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster. Written by me, it's about 240 pages. And if you buy the hard copy, you get pictures in the middle. So pictures are great.
Thank you for that, Claudia. Speaking of books.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. That's like dropping the Bible. No, I'm kidding. That was a joke.
Speaking of books, new Redheads episode is coming out on Thursday. I've been reading the book. I'm almost done with it. It is so good and so cute. And like, it really has a camper counselor vibe if you really look into it.
It's read called, between the lines.
Clara and the Sun by Kazuo Ishiguro. And it's really a quick read. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens. I have no idea where it's taking me, but I'm enjoying the ride. It kind of has like a Black Mirror vibe.
Oh, but stay away.
But nothing spooky. Nothing
stay
spooky.
Stay away. I don't want
nothing
it.
Spooky. It
I reminds will never.
Me, it reminds me of the episode, the Ashley O episode most.
I will never, ever watch that show again.
I mean, it's
you
really
guys know
good.
Why. You guys know
oh,
why.
Stop. Go away.
Don't make me say it.
We're not even on story two. You're not going
to
ruin the show.
Go to story two.
Are you ready for story two?
Mm-hmm. Is it about the prime minister? Who has the fucking
I was literally
bank?
About to make a joke, but I was like, I can't even speak it. I can't speak it into. Next story. Jessie J apologizes to Nicki Minaj over Bang Bang mix-up 7 years after the song's release.
This is
something.
It is.
7 years after the Jessie J, Ariana Grande, and Nicki Minaj collab Bang Bang popped on the charts, the trio song is making
headlines.
And changed the world and just gave us so much that we didn't even deserve at the time. And I feel like now 7 years later, it's just like, I can't believe we even had that.
No, and now it's like finding out that literally everyone involved in the song like hates it. I don't know. It's just like, it's crushing.
It is. It turns out that Jessie J and Nicki Minaj remember the beginnings of the single a little differently. And Minaj called out Jessie J's version of the story, which the singer had discussed in a recent interview with Glamour on Friday. As Jessie J recalled, she said, quote, Nicki was played it in the studio and was like, I've got to jump on this. We didn't go to her and ask. She wanted to do it. But according to Nicki, who responded to Jessie
J. And by the way, Jessie J was like, and that was like the honor of a lifetime. Like, right. I remember being in my apartment hearing her verse and thinking, like, how is this my life? Like, it was a very complimentary conversation in the interview.
But according to Nicki, who responded to Jessie's quotes on Thursday with a correction, I didn't hear the song and asked to get on it. The label asked me to get on it and paid me, she tweeted. How would I have heard the song? Sorry, this billboard is just all over
ads
the
everywhere.
Place. She said that they
paid
her for the song and she didn't hear the song before.
And she like kind of took it as an insult that like Nicki would hear a song and want to jump on it. She was very defensive.
Yeah. But for what it's worth, she did want to get on Jessie J's song, Do It Like a Dude, after catching it on the radio. She said, but the worst part about this, no one ever asked me, she tweeted with laughing face emojis. I have been obsessed with that song since the minute I heard it. Because then in Jessie J's follow-up, she's talking about Do It Like a Dude, and I was like, where does that come into play?
Okay, well, I'm just focused on the bang bang of it all. Because I just feel like, oh wait, and then Jessie J responded and like.
On Friday, she apologized to Nicki over the confusion about bang bang. She came to be with a meme-filled lengthy post on Instagram writing, I respect you publicly being yourself at Nicki, so here I am being myself. This is a video of me back in 2015 on stage shaking the piss out of myself, which is basically an hour of my set. It was made into a meme about 2 weeks ago. Is that what this is really about? And where this weird energy between us began?
Or I don't understand Jessie's.
No. Okay. So I guess there's this video of Jessie J, like, while the song is playing, it's Nicki's part, and it seems she's, like, mouthing it, but not really. She's just kind of, like, I guess, quote, taking the piss out of herself.
I don't know. Jessie's response made no fucking sense.
Maybe Nicki saw that video and got offended by it. And then she said, or maybe it was when you used me as a stair rail at the AMAs. So there's, like, a meme of Nicki walking down the stairs and holding onto Jessie's arm.
Yeah. I really did not understand Jessie J's response, but all I know was that she was hella overcompensating for, like, something that she thought she did wrong.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm unique in this, but, like, this is just, like, a prime example of, like, why I don't stand Nicki Minaj. Like, I feel like she's always taking an opportunity to, like, start a fight with someone, and this was just, like, so unnecessary. Like, okay, if you really felt that strongly that you needed to correct the narrative, which is, like, not a big deal. Like, if people thought... But I understand you want your story out there. I just felt like she came, like, so hard at Jessie J, like, for literally no reason.
Yeah.
And it just makes it hard to be, like, a Nicki Minaj fan when she's just, like, she's really not a woman who supports other women.
Yeah, I agree with you, though, knowing that she's Team Monique, like, I definitely want
It changes to, things.
I just want to, you know, keep that in mind.
No, it's true, because it really proves that you have, like, a very strong, logical, reasonable head on your shoulders.
Right, but I don't understand, like, okay, so say Jessie got the timeline wrong or someone told her something to make her feel better about the song that she wrote.
I am sure that both of the way that these two women experienced it are both true. Right. Like, there's a label involved. Right, they want to keep, like, artists happy.
Nothing that Jessie said was in any way insulting, disrespectful to Nicki Minaj. So she could have, like, cleared the air and been like, oh my God, that's not how it even happened. Like, the label said this and that. Just so funny how, you know, this all came to be.
Right.
It didn't, unless Nicki Minaj just didn't doesn't like Jessie. And that's a possibility. Well, also, it is kind of crazy that, like, this song was so big. Nicki Minaj and Ariana Grande are so big and they've collabed so many times. And it was, like, a little bit random that Jessie J was on the song.
100%. And I thought, oh, for sure, Jessie J wrote the song. Ariana wrote the song. And Ariana's done an interview basically being like, I can never sing that song again. She's, like, sang it so many times because it was so popular. So just knowing that, like, this iconic, literally one of the best songs of the last 10 years is so deeply despised by everyone who's been a part of it. And now it's, like, riddled with controversy. That makes me sad. And I just really felt like this was so unnecessary of Nicki Minaj. And it's just, like, I feel like if she doesn't really make music a lot anymore. So every time I'm hearing about her, she's just, like, starting a fight with someone. And it's, like, leave Jessie J alone. Like, you are the queen of rap. And, like, Jessie J's, like, barely hanging on to her relevancy by a thread. Like, leave her alone. Like, I don't know. It just felt, like, so unnecessarily, like, mean girl.
I agree. I totally agree.
Even though, like, I think Jessie J...
And this is probably the highlight of Jessie J's career, whereas, like, Nicki and Ariana have many highlights, and this is just one of them. But so to take to take away from like the one big one for her.
Agreed.
It's just so a little mean. Sad.
Totally.
And Jessie, I don't know why it never really happened for Jessie.
That's
J.
what I was about to say.
I think that she is so talented. I love a lot of her music. She doesn't really put actually, she just put out a song called I Want Love, and it's so fucking good.
She obviously but why has like, doesn't bad it get management. Like she, there's something about Jessie J that like the world refuses to like accept.
Yeah.
But, like, she didn't really help herself when she, like, performed at, like, an award show with an... she, like, sat the whole time because she had a broken foot and, like, she bedazzled her cast. And, like, for me, that's really all I remember about Jessie J. Actually, if you're ever wondering, like, why do Jackie and Claudia think that Jessie J is so underrated? You must go watch the videos of her on YouTube in that really big Chinese talent show.
Yeah.
It's like this show in China that like people who are already famous go on, but it's like great to go on to like expand your Chinese audience. And she won, first of all, and she has like four or five performances. She did a bunch of Whitney Houston. I'm trying to remember which song she did. Whatever. Literally, you've never heard vocals like that in your life. It's so spectacular. She's so talented and she writes amazing songs, but there's something like about her that just won't take
that
off.
That doesn't hit and doesn't stick.
I know. Even like she's super relevant, like with her relationship with Channing Tatum. Like she really has all the makings of like what should be a huge pop star, but there's something about it that just doesn't work.
Yeah. And that makes me sad because I'm a big fan of hers.
Same. And I just like with this whole drama, I do stand with Jessie J. Like, you're right. This is the highlight of her career. I'm like, Ariana and Nicki like couldn't care less about it, which I get because they're accomplished in their own way. But like, it just really felt like really unnecessary of Nicki to come at her like this.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's been how many years and she's still doing interviews about it. Like,
oh my God, stop. I'm going to cry.
You know what I mean? It's like, 100%. Nicki's not like.
No.
So it was just kind of sad.
Yeah, the whole thing was really sad. And then like the saddest part was Jessie J's response to Nicki's like unnecessary
kerfuffle.
Yeah, being
like, should kerfuffle. We get dinner? LOL, no.
You know, and like all these, like a whole essay on Instagram with like memes. Like she was just overcompensating so hard because like she obviously doesn't want to mess up this one great thing like in her career.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes me really sad.
Yeah, I felt sad after just the whole synopsis.
It was honestly like a really emotional journey, this whole thing.
Yeah, and it ruins like a what is a really great iconic song.
She might have let you hold her hand at school, but I'ma show you how to graduate. Now I don't need to hear you talk the talk, but just show me what your mama gave you. Don't want to say you're about. But like so good,
so fucking good. You know,
it's
six
got a sticky full thought, sticky full thought. Oh,
so we got a wee chittle and a lot of wee dipping in a pot of food. It's me, Jesse and Ari. If they test me, they sorry. Ride us up like a Harley and roll us in this Ferrari. If he hanging, we banging. Phone ringing, we slaying. If that karaoke might turn me from my words, I'm saying, oh, B to the A. To the N, to the G, to the hey, yeah. Like, and then Jessie J hits, oh no, Ariana hits that note. Wait, who hits that note? I mean, they're all hitting notes. They're hitting everything.
No, I think it's Jessie J. It's so good.
Yeah.
I will not let this story overtake the legacy of that song. Mm-hmm. I will not. I mm-hmm. will not. Mm-hmm. Will I?
No. No, she will not.
I'm not will I am. I am will I not.
So I think we should move on before it does.
Yes. No, I'm getting like sweaty. Sorry.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Rihanna reacts to becoming a billionaire with the best three-word response. So last week, Forbes revealed that Rihanna's estimated net worth is about $1.7 billion.
She's mostly, almost a two-time billionaire. Like,
yeah, right? Like, you're a little late then. You're seriously. About 7.7.
I understand not
wanting... 700 million late?
I understand not wanting to make the announcement at, like, 1.0, because, like, you know, it's still touch and go. Maybe the stock market has a bad day. But, like, 1.1, 1.2, like, why they wait till 1.7?
Yeah. She is now the richest female musician in the world and the second richest female entertainer, only behind Oprah Winfrey.
That's crazy, because, like, I don't even think of her as a musician anymore.
I know. When paparazzi approached her and asked her what it meant to her to be a self-made billionaire, she only had three words to capture how blessed she is. She said, quote, God is good.
Oh, I mean, this is obviously not shocking at all because Fenty Beauty is so popular. So is Savage X Fenty. Like, she has a million endeavors that are just so sickening. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like this is happy and sad news because it's happy. We're so happy for Rihanna. I just feel like this sets us back even more, you
in
know,
the music department.
In the music department. Yeah. And I actually think it's inherently possible. Like, we will never get new music. And like, I think we as a society like have to come to grips with that. And if we get one, great. But I just think our expectations should be really low, like, just when it comes to music.
Yeah, our expectations should be zero, really.
Yeah.
So we'll only be pleasantly surprised if it happens, but not disappointed if it doesn't.
Yeah.
I agree.
So when I heard this news, I'm like, that's amazing.
But we're one step further from new music.
Exactly.
I feel like.
But it's so impressive.
Well, she's also always like doing collabs still, you know?
Yeah.
Always lending her talents.
Seconds from Wildin'. That is also, I think, one of the most underrated songs like ever.
So fucking good.
And it's like, what does Paul McCartney do? Unclear, because you don't really hear him, but happy that he got to hang out with Rihanna and Kanye.
Yeah. Speaking of Kanye, Donda's still not out.
Yeah. But Kim went back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, so all is right in the
right,
world.
Right, and the kids were there, and she was all dressed up.
Yeah, like her outfit wasn't as sickening this time.
But it was Kanye-ified. And,
yeah.
Oh, you know, I liked it just as much as I liked the other one, in the sense that, like, it was, she was doing something.
She was wearing a ski mask.
Yeah, no, but she was doing something.
It wasn't for me.
Okay. Until, like, you'll be wearing it in 2 years.
For sure.
That's how the world works.
For sure.
So I was just glad to see them all together. Like, even if Donda, you know, whenever it comes, I'm just, they're giving us, like, co-parenting modern
dreams.
Family vibes,
dreams.
You know?
Yeah, no, totally.
And they're giving us hope.
You know what I recently
rewatched? I feel like they could get back together. I feel like they might be single.
I feel like they could too.
I feel like they might realize that really there's no one on their level and that it's not, the grass isn't greener.
I actually think that's entirely possible as well. You know what I recently rewatched, as in recently, I meant yesterday? Airplane Karaoke with mm-hmm. Kanye and James Corden.
So
it's so good.
So good.
It's so impressive. Like, I always forget about Sunday Service because they haven't done it in a while, or maybe they have, but like Kim's not storing it. It's literally the most impressive thing.
Yeah.
So good. If you're ever feeling down, like, I should really make a YouTube playlist of, like, things I watch when I'm down. That includes Jessie J and all of her Chinese talent show performances. It includes that video of Beyonce singing in the back of the car. It includes a couple Fifth Harmony covers before they were famous and before they started releasing music. Lego House, so good. Red Taylor Swift, so good. The making of Getaway Car, The Bridge. Like, there's just so many YouTube videos I could list off.
Caitlyn and Sean's engagement.
I don't watch that anymore just out of respect, but I used to watch it all the time. One of my favorites. But, you know, she's in a better place. And maybe if we get a televised version of their engagement, I'll have something to replace it
we
with on my playlist.
We have one.
Televised?
Like, we have a video of Jason and Caitlin's engagement. Because, remember, they
YouTube?
Were, like, recording for the podcast. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
Are you ready for our next story, which is about relationships? So it's a great segue.
It's a great segue into my best relationship. The one with my dog, Theo.
Oh my goodness.
And if you guys listen to the show, you know that our dogs are a huge part of our family. And that's why when it comes to keeping Theo and Brutaru safe, happy, and secure, we knew that the Halo collar was the only collar we would use. It is the only smart system with a collar that trains, tracks, and protects your dog so they can safely run free. You can create Halo fences by walking the perimeter with your collar or at the touch of your finger with the Halo app. You can train with natural, simple, profound communication via the custom feedback you set for your dog. It can even include your voice. They also offer location and status so you can stay connected to your dog and see how they're doing from activity and safety status anytime you want. The GPS works with yourself without cell or Wi-Fi, and you can create up to 20 fences instantly. They included 21-day training programs that set you up for success. Check out their 90-second video on shophalocollar.com/toast to see how easy it is. For me personally, the GPS is like an absolute game changer, because when I became a dog mom and they're like, do you have the dog have the chip? And you found out that like the chip doesn't carry GPS. It's like, what's the point of the chip? So the Halo collar is a great, great thing because it's just so important, like especially if you're traveling with your dog, just it's always good to be safe. Take advantage of their special limited time introductory offer and save 20% on your Halo collar by going to shophalocollar.com/toast. That's shophalocollar.com/toast to save 20%, but you must use the site shophalocollar.com/toast to get that 20% off. Shophalocollar.com/toast. Check it out.
Thank you so much, Claudia.
It's a pleasure.
Are you ready for our next story? A bit of relationship news.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tyler Cameron and girlfriend Camila Kendra split after 8 months. Tyler
is crazy.
C and his girlfriend have split after 8 months of dating and only 1 week after he called her his soulmate, Pitch Six has learned. That's what I was thinking. He literally just said she's his soulmate. Now watch what happens live.
Do you think that the timing is like at all suspicious? Like, what is this, 10 days after he sat down with me for an hour?
And he sat down with Theo.
I think he saw, like, what his life could be. And he was like, I don't know if I could have this with Camila.
Yeah, because Theo belongs to Claudia.
I think the timing, it's worth pointing out.
Yeah. A source told Page Six that things took a turn, which is a weird
thing. I really want to know what happened.
Which is a weird thing to say. Which, that's a weird thing.
Because literally, they were on Watch What Happens Live together 1 week ago.
Soulmate. The word soulmate was used. Though he also said...
And if we're
said,
finding out now, it couldn't have been yesterday. It must have been a few days ago.
Yeah, but he also... it couldn't have been that much different if they were together a week ago. But he also said... It must have been really abrupt, though. You know, like, there's no...
No, but I'm saying if this article's out today, there's no way they broke up this morning. Like, this must be a few days old.
Yeah.
And he was on Watch What Happens Live a week ago. So this literally must have broken up 3 days after Watch What Happens Live.
He was also spotted in Jacksonville. Dumois posted of him with a blonde girl all over him. So it looks like he had a single weekend. So they probably broke up late last week. But I will say, just like, maybe he used the word soulmate. He also called Matt James his soulmate. So like, maybe he could still say like Camila is a soulmate. Maybe he thinks you can have a lot of soulmates.
Yeah, maybe he's one of those people who thinks like your friends are your soulmates.
Yeah,
like
maybe Charlotte, they're friends. But things took a turn just...
quickly.
That usually we don't get that. We get scheduling, we get this, we get that.
Yeah, no, and it's like over the course of time, like we're questioning, like, did they break up? They unliked this photo.
Yeah,
this photo
they unfollowed each other.
But like, they are broken up, like 100%. It's over. Hard.
It's over.
I wonder why. Like, when you're both so stunning, what is there to fight about?
I don't know.
I'll ask Ben. Oh, also,
I think he might need some emotional support. So if you wanted to send Theo down to his place.
Yeah, Dr. Jacksonville.
That would be so sweet.
I just kind of want to put some of the rumors to rest.
Okay.
I'm not wearing my ring today because I forgot. So just, I know everyone's like constantly thinking like me and Ben.
Thinking stuff. I'm so the queen of forgetting to wear my ring.
You always are.
And it's just so crazy how like when I don't wear my ring, which is probably 50% of the time, people are like, Jackie's not wearing her ring.
Right.
It's like, do you watch a show?
No, but like, what about the other 50% when I am?
Right, right.
I'm usually pretty good, but like, I genuinely forgot today. Also, my nails are so disgusting. I just don't think it's right to put diamonds on these fingers.
My nails are disgusting.
Brittle. Cracked.
I have had not one opportunity. I haven't gotten a manicure in so long. My nails are, I might have to go today because I just, it will improve my mental health if I stop looking at these hands.
No, I mean, I literally left the house yesterday and walked around the block, went to two different places to try and get my nails done. Closed.
That's really upsetting.
You know, I was saying to Ben, this used to be the city that never slept. Recently, everyone's sleeping quite a lot. Like, it's no longer this, like, hustle bustle. The other night, I was, like, wasted. Tried to get McDonald's at, like, 2 a.m. Like, they were closed. McDonald's?
That's
it was
crazy.
Wild.
No, they're sleeping.
Yeah, no, everyone's asleep. I'm just saying, wake the fuck up, bitch. Frank Sinatra would be. Did he say city that never sleeps? Yeah. I wanna wake up. In a city that doesn't sleep. Yeah, he would be very disappointed. He is, like, shaming you. Wake up.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Is it
the final story? Do 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 do. Beautiful.
Stunning. Yeah, smart. What is it?
Renee Zellweger supports Ant and Stead during Supercar Gala for first public event as a couple.
You and I haven't spoken about this because...
We haven't.
I think I did it with Olivia, who I knew would be like so interested in the drums.
There is a lot to unpack here. So first, Renee Zellweger is showing support for her boyfriend, who is Ant and Stead.
Who used to be married to Christina Ant Stead.
Who used to be married to Tariq El Moussa.
Who is currently engaged to Heather Rae Young.
Okay, so that's what you need to know. That's the backstory. And Renee Zellweger, A-lister, Oscar winner.
Judy Garland.
The couple
used to be married to Kenny Chesney for 11 seconds.
Yep, the couple stepped out on Saturday night to attend the Radford Motors Gala at the Lion Air Museum in Santa Ana, California.
Lion Air?
Lion with a Y.
Whenever I think of Lion Air, I think of the orphans and children and widows.
Of course. They unveiled their new sports car, whatever.
Who cares?
Okay. Other important factoid. In photos shared by Real Housewives of Orange County alum Lydia McLaughlin and her husband Doug, the pair smiled along Zellweger and Anstead in formal attire for the big night. So unclear. I mean, clearly Lydia and her husband were at this event. Unclear if this is, you know, a dynamic foursome.
Definitely
or,
not.
Or Lydia is a fan and asked to take a picture and now it just looks like they were hanging out.
Ant is going to be on the cover of the next seasonal issue of Nobleman.
Yeah. That
the hottest magazine in all of Orange County.
That really could happen. I'm just really in shock over the whole thing. Like, first of all, Renee Zellweger dating a reality star. It's shocking and it never becomes less shocking.
He's actually not a reality star. He's a British TV host.
Okay, that's What does he host? Reality shows?
No, like these car shows. Like, I don't know. He's not a reality star.
Okay. Reality he star just, adjacent?
Yes, because he was married to Christina for 11 seconds.
Yeah. So just Renee Zellweger dating him. Like, when you get such an A-lister. And it's kind of reminding me of, like, Zooey Deschanel and the Property Brothers.
Yes! Oh, my God. That's gorgeous.
Which at its time was shocking and now is just a fact of life.
No, not for me. I'll still never be surprised like, by it.
They're so, like, they've been together for so long, I don't think there's any, you know, issues there. So it's just, like, a fact of life. Like, Zooey Deschanel dates the Property Brothers. And married?
No.
Okay.
The other one got married.
Like, this to me is, you know, like, Nick Vile dating January Jones. Like, it's shocking stuff.
GGD dating Tyler Cameron.
It's shocking stuff. So I haven't had a chance to just come here and say that.
Well, I have more layered information for you if you're ready for it. So obviously this whole thing is so weird because how you go, like, this is connecting Heather Rae Young to Renee Zellweger. We know that. It's just a crazy turn of events. But what's even crazier, and I saw it on TikTok, this girl did a huge deep dive because she too was like obsessed with the layeredness of it all. Did you know that Aunt Anstead has a sister? Correct me, I might be getting this wrong, but it's somewhat of the same je ne sais quoi.
Elk.
Or it's either his sister or his sister-in-law. Started a podcast a little while ago with Heather Rae Young.
No.
And then one of them dropped off, and no, they obviously don't do the podcast together anymore. I think it's Heather dropped off.
That can't be.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's twisted.
That can't be right.
Hold on. Let me find the TikTok.
That just can't
be right.
The girl
did, she did like a huge in-depth.
You and your TikTok theories, like, no offense, I read a whole fucking book about the Titanic because of your TikTok theories, and they literally squashed that rumor that you said of, like, with the
they did
in one fucking second.
What'd they say?
Which rumor were you, there's a lot of, like,
the one that I was saying was that it was like a conspiracy because of the Federal Reserve or something.
Okay, they didn't even mention that. That's how low level that theory is. But the one where they swapped out the Olympic for the Titanic to get the insurance money for the Olympic.
I didn't say that.
And the guy was just like, why wouldn't you just start a fire if you want to sink the ship as opposed to killing 1,000 people?
Okay, I can't find the TikTok, but I will.
It's really full
of pertinent information.
We really need to start questioning these TikToks. Like,
oh, I disagree wholeheartedly. Oh my God, I think they're incredibly.
No, and like, I feel like what also comes to mind is that guy who started that rumor about Kanye.
Yeah, but he was, that guy's just like a shit-starting YouTuber, like, who does that for fame.
We really need to start questioning these TikToks, so I'm questioning it.
Is this it? I'll find it, but.
Okay.
And I'll post it on our reels.
Okay, cool.
It's worth going down.
Sneetches Anstead.
Okay, let's have a TV recap. Anstead. Because there's so much TV recap that, like, it's oozing out of me. Let's just start plain and simple with The Real Housewives of Potomac from last night. How does that work? Yes,
that's a great idea.
Our TV recap segment is brought to you by Purple. Doesn't it seem like the world's against us from getting a good night's sleep this time of year? Talk about the warm weather, like, literally setting me up for failure. It's just not working. But when you have a Purple mattress, you can sleep cool and comfortable no matter what the world throws at you. That's because only Purple mattresses have the grid. It's a unique ventilated design that allows air to flow through to help you sleep cool, even when it feels like 1,000 degrees out. And the grid is amazingly supportive for your back and legs while cushioning your shoulders, neck, and hips, no matter how you sleep. Unlike memory foam, which remembers everything, the grid bounces back as you move and shift. So you never get that I'm stuck feeling like you do with a memory foam. It's true. There's like a visible difference in not only how you move in a Purple mattress, but also the cooling technology. Like, basically everything I purchased for my bed, from the mattress, the pillows, the sheets, everything, it's just with the cooling technology in mind. And I didn't think I'd be able to find a mattress that had that technology available. But your girl who sweats at night is being taken care of.
I just got a new Purple mattress pillow and it's so delicious. And I thought I had like decent pillows happening. Mm-hmm. No, I have to had to switch over all my pillows. It was so fantastic. Perfect firm to softness ratio.
You can try your Purple mattress risk-free with free shipping and returns, and they also offer financing. Purple is comfort reinvented, and right now you'll get 10% off any order of $200 or more if you go to purple.com/TMT and use the promo code TMT. That's purple.com/TMT, promo code TMT for 10% off any order of $200 or more. Purple.com/TMT, promo code TMT, terms apply.
Thank you.
Okay, Real Housewives of Potomac. Literally, that house is so sickening. I actually looked it up because I'm like, we should spend the weekend at the estate. Okay, it's literally, the website's broken. Like, I could not find a rate if my life depended on it. Like, it's, the website's been down. Maybe so many people were looking it up because of last night.
Oh, maybe.
That it crashed. I have so many grievances with this episode, but the one that I literally cannot get over is Robin Dixon shoving Mia out of her room, not asking, but just telling. If anyone did that, it's so disrespectful. But Robin Dixon, like, you don't carry that much weight in this show. Like, you're barely hanging on to this cast by a thread. Don't be disrespectful. She was so, and the fact that Mia just took it, because she finally got on a good place with Robin and Giselle, and I think she saw what it could be like to be on the bad side, and she wanted nothing to do with it, so she just said okay.
No, but it's like Robin and Giselle literally can't help themselves. When they were having cocktails with Mia, and they were all really having a nice time, and like they came to an understanding, and they have an appreciation for Mia, I was like, wow, how bad can Robin and Giselle really be? Like, if you're friends with them, it's probably fun, and they're probably funny, and, you know, it's a good time. Mm-hmm. But like, not even in the next scene, they're just like, they can't help but be so mean.
About even like this, like she walked in the gown, she's like, and Giselle in her commentary is like, is that the gown you wore to the strip club? Because she said it.
They literally the club can't get over.
There's a stripper pole and they're like, wow, you've obviously done that before. Like, she's been so honest about everything. Her clit, her meeting her husband at a strip club. She's literally not been lied about one single thing. And they're just so nasty. Like, I literally, this episode, I didn't think it was possible to hate Giselle and Robin even more, but I hate them so much, and I cannot wait for Wendy, Zen Wen, to rip the fuck into Giselle. Somebody has to do it.
I can't believe that it's going to be Wendy who is the one who all of our hopes and dreams are relying on, you know? Because, I mean, after this episode, and Wendy really is just, like, all over the place this season. I have no idea, like,
Who is she?
Who is she? And it's like, if this were her first season, I'd be like, oh, she's living a great for cool her. Woman. But just in the context of last season, I'm just like, who are you?
And I, like, even though I hate Giselle, she is justified in her confusion about Wendy, because like literally Wendy showed up on that bus looking snatched, like that bodysuit that like showed her hips, amazing. Who is this woman? Like, she really is acting so different that it is confusing for everyone.
I wonder if it's the fame of the show. I don't think it's because there's a rumor about Eddie, so she had her whole body redone. I don't know,
the timing is weird.
I think it's the show. Like, I think she'd had one season, I think she thought she got good reviews, and now she's like, I'm gonna be the next Martha Stewart. Like,
really? I don't think that
people used to, those things used to happen more often, like in the earlier days of Real Housewives, where like, you know, you do one season and then all of a sudden you're true faith, you know, and like you have your big brand that you're gonna launch. I don't think her first season was, you know, acclaimed enough for her to have that sort of takeaway. And I also think it's the fame is like getting to her a little bit.
I actually think that like this season I'm liking her more just because she's less up Robin and Giselle's ass. But this candle thing, like, I'm sorry, I cannot get on board. Like, I'm with your mom. Like, throwing away your doctorate and your political commentating career to start a candle line that your husband finances, like, that's just so cliche. And I'm sorry, I can't get on board.
No, not at all. I don't even think it's cliche. I think it's outrageous.
It's outrageous.
I've never heard of it before.
And she doesn't even have a passion for, like, owning her own business. She didn't even know you, like, needed a trademark. Like, it's not like this is a huge dream of hers. It's like every decision she's making in her personal life recently makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
And it's so contrary to who I thought she was. So was she lying last season? Is she lying this season? Like, who is the real Wendy?
So Giselle is asking a valid question there. Also, the moment that really bothered me the most was when Candace was telling everyone what rooms they would be in on the bus, like, into the microphone. Like, I can't stand her. Can't dis. Like, she's so, oh my God, I fast forward through her personal scenes because I do have to protect my mental health.
She just had so much, like, she was so excited to, like, tell Karen. And it's like, okay,
you plan the trip. What do you mean? Like, the producers put your name on it. So
totally.
She was so excited to tell Karen and Wendy and the other girl.
Wait, who?
The other new girl.
Oh, Ascala. She actually was bothering me less this episode.
They're going to form an alliance, and the main house girls are going to turn on each other.
But the thing is that Ascala is a friend of Robin.
Not for long.
Which is a huge red flag.
Yeah. Next episode seems to be good because they are finally having like a dinner, all of them, where they're going to talk about some stuff. So
when Ashley finally shows up, Ashley has the fiery baton.
No, but it's like she just had a baton and she set it on fire because Giselle is the one who's supposed to bring up the Yeti rumors. And so Ashley gave her 1 minute to do so before she's going to tell Wendy. And that's why I fucking love Ashley. I love Ashley so much. She is literally, and even when, and like, I, it's fucking Candace who's like, you gave birth 2 minutes ago and you're going to come on the trip. It's like,
no, like your coochie, she's just so disrespectful. Like, so your coochie's ripped open. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's how we're talking about childbirth.
No, and it's like, that's how much Ashley takes her job seriously. Like, and you can see how attached she is to her baby.
She's
like,
wearing glam. Literally, her newborn baby's 3 days old. Giselle's coming over to look at her baby. She hates Giselle, and it's like she's literally like putting her child near Giselle, even though she probably doesn't want to, in full glam, literally her coochie ripped open. And she's such a good housewife.
She's such a good housewife. She never stops, and she's such a good mom. And she'll probably bring the new baby with her, and like she will do it fucking all, and she will throw that fiery baton into the house. And she showed up for one fucking day.
No, I agree. Like, I just, and maybe it wouldn't be if like I didn't dislike Candace so much, but like everything she does bothers me. Like, oh, I forgot to invite Ashley to the girls' night. Oh, I forgot to invite Ashley on the girls' trip. Like, just if you don't like, just be honest. Like,
no, that I hate when people are like nasty and then they're like, who, oops, me? Oops. It's like, no, at least be nasty and fucking and own it.
Own it, Lisa. Oh, 100%. So it was just like a really frustrating episode because I'm like, I feel like I'm on this island alone with Karen and you, like, and Ashley.
Yeah.
And they're just, they don't have enough people on their side.
No, but Wendy is coming to the island and she's going to Karen's hometown. And if Giselle makes fun of,
that was really smart of Karen.
If Giselle makes fun of Karen in her hometown one more time, like, I can't. It's same, so disrespectful.
Good, like, you blink and you might miss it. Like, so rude. Everything that comes out of Giselle's mouth is so judgmental. And then she's like genuinely confused why people don't like her.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was so rude. Everything is just a dig, a dig, a dig.
Yeah. So
I want Ray to live. I want Ray to pay his bills. Shut up. Shut up. Like, she's literally holding on to this crazy one thing that Karen did at the reunion, which was talking about things everybody already knew. When Giselle has literally built her housewife's career off the bones of other people's personal business, she brings up all the rumors. She brings up all the cheating. She brings up everyone's personal life, everyone's husbands, everyone's children. That is literally who she is. And Karen did it once. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. Karen did it one fucking time. And Giselle thinks that, like, literally she's owed an apology for the rest of her life.
With a fact.
With receipts.
And Giselle lives in a glass house. She throws stones every fucking episode. She gets one stone in her window. And it's World War III.
It's so hypocritical. Like,
how can she not, like, see herself?
It's reminding me of Dorinda, where it's like, I'm having a hard time even watching this person be so, for Dorinda, it was, like, so misbehaved. And for Giselle, it's so hypocritical. It's the true definition of hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. It's infuriating. And last night was no exception. Like, just the way they were sitting there. Does anybody want to apologize? Shut up. Yeah, I want you to apologize.
And Karen is just so mature and she's a queen.
Her answers are perfect. Are you talking to me? So good. She's so composed. Like, she doesn't let Giselle get to her. She's really a queen. But I'm sure
it affects her, you know, because they are so fucking mean to her.
So mean. But I'm sorry. Karen Huger is a role model.
When Karen walked onto the bus in her stunning coat.
Pink coat.
Stunning. Like, she looked amazing. And Giselle and Robin were like, now that's like, what are you talking about, no, poncho?
Poncho. One word. Poncho.
Her coat was so pretty. Like, okay, first of all, even if it wasn't, like, to make someone fun of someone in front of their face. But, like, again, look in the mirror, poncho.
For Giselle to even make the slightest remark, grimace, about someone else's style, whether that be interior design, whether that be personal style, fashion choices, is literally the definition of hypocrisy.
No, it's...
it's the pot calling the kettle black.
It's madness. And you know what I also find, like, crazy, but I don't mind it. It's like, Giselle has gotten ripped apart for her style, like, every single season after season. Like, I think even when she thinks it's getting better, like, it's actually just getting worse. And I just can't believe that she hasn't just, like, brought someone in to fix the problem. But yeah. Maybe, like, she just can't hide bad taste. Like, you just can't.
Yeah, or maybe
she brings in someone who she thinks has good taste.
Or maybe, like, you know, she just writes that off as, like, you know, haters. But, like, the haters actually have a really valid point. Like, you need a stylist.
Yeah. No, but, like, she would hire the wrong one still.
Totally.
Yeah.
So that's it. It's actually turning out to be a very good season. And I feel like this Wendy stuff is really going to blow shit up. Like, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm, like, sad for that Wendy's family has to be drugged through the mud. But, like, if that's what it took for her to see, like, who Giselle really is, then it had to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
Okay, let's talk about Love Island.
Let's. I have some
literally
thoughts.
Nothing happened last night. There was a recoupling, but basically one couple went home, and it was just the America voted who their three favorite couples were. Andre and Trina, who, like, are actually, like, both open to delving more into whatever this might be, even though there's only like a week left. Olivia and Corey, obviously. And who was... Oh, Will and Kira. Boring. Will
lie, and Kira, that's a lie.
Will and Kira went
on a
date. By the
way, because they were in the bottom and they haven't done anything to come out of the bottom. I think they got less votes. I think it's rigged.
100%.
They got less votes because did you see their faces? I'm, I guess, two episodes behind me.
They were shocked.
Because Cash still hasn't gone home. And oh. I don't know who... Andre is, I don't think. Is he new?
Oh, he's a new Brazilian guy who came in for Olivia. And
oh,
like,
okay. I met him.
Yeah.
And also, one other thing. Oh, I thought that Corey was going to choose Bailey. What, let me guess. Jeremy got her?
Yeah, and Jeremy was in the bottom.
With literally no fucking effort whatsoever.
Jeremy was in the bottom with these two other couples. And literally, like, we're saving Jeremy again. But this other couple full of new people who you, like, literally don't even need to meet because they left. She very outright said, like, I'm not feeling a connection with this guy. So... Ariel was like, who do you think has the least potential as here as a couple? And they had to say this couple because she literally said she didn't like him. Like,
okay.
So, of course, Jeremy got saved. And so did Charlie and Alana, who I love Alana.
Oh, my gosh. Blonde. Me too. Oh, and they're a couple now.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Because I saw them on their way to coupledom.
So people just think that, like, Charlie's really toxic and, like, he used Cash to get from Casa Amor into the house. But I don't really see it that way. Like, I actually think he's a genuine guy. I've been reading a lot of, like, Reddit and, like, tweets, and people just, like, are not here for Charlie. They think he's, like, you know, a user. I don't really get that vibe. Like, he's allowed to explore. Like, he was really into Cash. When they got back to the house, Cash was so clearly caught up with Cinco. Like, of course it would turn him off. And I think he was justified in exploring other things. And he was into Alana, and he chose Alana. And, by the way, Cash wasn't even mad. The second she got sent home, she's packing her things. She's like, I can't wait to see Cinco. Like, it was always Cinco. So why are we mad at Charlie for sending her home when Cash is literally here saying it was always Cinco?
Yeah, I agree. I watched the breakup or the attempted breakup go down. I felt like he was pretty honest. Like, and I don't, you know, I don't really know what he...
I don't know what more people want from him.
Yeah. So, but what's so funny is, like, the girls are so hypocritical. And, like, nobody fucking calls him out. Like, first of all, Olivia with Corey, like, watching her try and talk about, like, how she wants to salvage their, you know, their love when there's nothing there, whatever. Fine. She can say what she wants. But wait. So he's into Bailey and he's talking to Bailey and having a lot of conversations with Bailey. And they're like, how do I know if he's disrespecting me? And Cash was like, if he... kisses her or if he like lies about something. And then literally Olivia and she's like, is Corey's head turning? Then those two new guys come in and Olivia goes into the confessional. She's like, my head is turned. And it's like, imagine if Corey acted like that when Bailey showed up. And she kisses him like so quickly, and like just everything she's saying is like, if Corey did those things, it would be like over.
No, a lot of these girls are literally the definition, you either die the hero or live long enough to become the villain. Because towards the end of Cash's time there, like, she was starting to be like a little hypocritical just in like the way she did with Charlie, and like she literally did things with Charlie that she was mad at Cinco for doing. Like, it was just becoming like a little obvious.
And literally, so Charlie tries to communicate, and Charlie said this, he's like, you're all about communication, but I tried to communicate with you that,
and you
like,
got up and walked
and
away
you got up and walked away. And like, so Charlie says like, I don't want to continue further, and Cash
can't handle it.
And then literally the next day is like, Cash says to Charlie, you can tell me anything.
Yeah, no, she was unraveling in the Charlie thing. Most, I think probably because she was like still just like upset about Cinco. But I actually think that's why. I think it's perfect timing that she left, because she's beloved. They booked her flight home. She had a layover in D.C. Cinco met her in D.C. They met up. She missed her connecting flight. She went home with him and had family dinner with his family. Like, that ended the way it was supposed to end. She got a storybook ending. And I think, like, people were really sad that she left. But I think, literally, a perfect time could not have come faster.
Yeah, because
like,
it was starting to sour.
It was starting to just be like, you're saying things and doing things that are misaligned. Like,
yeah.
It was a perfect time. And now,
like, you're saying that so-and-so can go talk to so-and-so, but then, like, you're so upset. And then, like, you were just, like, saying and doing, like, the exact opposite things. And I think a lot of the girls are guilty of that.
So now it's, like, Olivia's kind of the last OG who's, like, still relevant. Like, Trina's OG, but she's so quiet and she's, like, so stunning and perfect. Like, I don't have a bad word to say about her. Like, she should win even though she has no connection with this guy just because, like, they deserve it. Like, she's been through a lot on this show and she should have went home like 1,000 times. But she's sticking it out and she has such a positive attitude and she's such a good friend. Like, I just love her.
No, I love her.
But Olivia's, like, what's happening to Olivia is what would have happened to Cash if Cash hadn't gone home. I'm just starting to really, like, resent her. And I think everything she says is fake. And now that all the fan favorites, literally 11 people had to leave for Olivia to become the main character. And she's just, like, talking. And she's just, like, so annoying. Like, she just, like, is feeling the main character energy. But it's, like, Shannon had to go home. Josh had to go home. Cinco had to go home. Cash had to go home. Literally a million people had to go home in order for you to, like, get this position.
Now for you,
like,
to shine.
She's like, not me in a love triangle. Like, shut up. Like, she's talking like Cash. Like, like someone DM'd this to me and I really started to notice it. Like, and I guess it's like, it used to happen to me at camp. Like when I would be with my friends and like, there was this one girl who was Latin and she would like always say these Latin things. And I started to like pick up on it. And you definitely, when you are with people a lot, start to talk like them, but she's literally cloning Catch's persona. Not me being in a love triangle. Ew. Like that's what Catch
said. Ew.
She says, ew. Ew, not me catching feelings.
Oh, that's
Cash. She says it 500 times a day.
Oh, my God.
So she's, like, literally skinning Cash and wearing her. Like, it's crazy. And so I'm just starting to, like,
you know,
really
what? She
dislike her.
Still won't win. Like, I'm really concerned now about who's going to win. And so it cannot be Will and Kira.
There was no way to know that Josh and Shannon would have to leave. And for a million, like, of course, for personal reasons, like, it's so devastating. It's the most sad story I've ever, like, imagine being away. And, like, it's just horrible.
Horrible.
But also for the continuity of the show, it kind of really fucked things up because I think their biggest mistake, there was like this, the episode that I was like, that I played out for you where Florida went home, Amy and Wes went home and someone else over. Oh, Isaiah.
Yeah.
So randomly they sent four people home when Amy and Wes are still together and she like did a story that she's moving to Denver. Like they're legit. Florida had hard connections with two guys in the villa and Isaiah was like a man about town. I don't understand why they did that because ever since then, I just feel like the composition of the group like was never the same.
Yeah.
And then they just like kept sending people
and
home.
They and they keep sending people home who are at the dawn of connection. And it's like, okay, we can't say we're connected because we met yesterday.
Yeah.
But like, maybe Isaiah how about the people who have been here for like 30 days who are still single?
Trina, Jeremy.
Olivia up until
Olivia.
Yesterday.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's like a kind of fault in the show that it's like it's built and it's designed to keep the OGs. And most of the OGs
they're like
this season
they had
haven't
their time.
Been able to.
They had their time.
And they've had a million connections. Jeremy had Trina. He had
Amy. He
Amy.
Had Flo.
Yeah.
He had Bailey.
He had ever like.
He had the other girl from Jenny.
Jenny.
Genevieve.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like he had. Oh, my God. Genevieve DM'd me like starting a fight like. It was twisted. I didn't respond because I'm like, why am I fighting with this like 22-year-old? But she like, I'm always just recapping Love Island on my story. And she put up this like picture with her and Cash. I mean, with her and Cinco. And I was just like, it was just like a confusing photo. Like,
and you just posted a question
I just
mark.
Posted it with a question mark because I'm like, what does this mean? Like, are they
I'm
friends? Why are they, where are they together? Are they together? Like, asking questions like she put up a misleading photo. And she, I'm going to read it. Like, it was so, like, she was like attacking me. And I'm like.
No, it was out of control.
I didn't even tag her. Like, I don't even know how she found it.
It was out of control because you didn't say anything. You just asked a question.
Oh, here she said, we got voted off together. We're like brother and sister. Don't try to make it seem like something it's not, bestie. I want Cash to get her mans too. I'm like,
you're
bestie?
The one making it seem like something it's not.
I'm like, you're the one who posted the photo. That's misleading, first of all. Second of all, like, don't call me bestie. Like, I've never met you.
No, I totally agree. And also, I cannot
stand. Like, why are you starting beef with me? Like,
another pet peeve of mine, which Love Island had brought to light. And I just want to say. Oh, no, not even that. But I want to say Shannon and Josh, when they went on their one-on-one, Shannon called him a man. And I just want to thank.
Oh, my God. I noticed that, too.
I want to thank Shannon for that because
it meant
so much.
Oh, my God, Jackie. I noticed that, too.
It meant so much to me. But another pet peeve of mine in just life in general is when people are like, we're like brother and sister, especially when you met 2 fucking weeks ago. Like, brother and sister have spent their whole, like, no. So anyone who says we're like brother and sister,
no,
that's
like a
not,
girl, when it's like, what's going on between you and Jared?
Oh, he's like,
he's
my,
like my
brother.
Brother.
Well, is he your brother or can you fuck him? There, it's clear as day.
Okay.
So especially since they met 2 weeks ago, like that my pet peeve radar is off the charts.
Off the charts.
Off the charts.
Yeah.
We're like brothers. We met 2 weeks ago. Oh my God, I can't. Like,
so who went home last night was, Casey and Ellie. Like there's, you could really skip last night's episode. It was like, and it was 2 hours. I was shocked. So I think that Fally's coming up. I don't know who's going to win. I feel like they're going to have this. They're going to try and make it Olivia and Corey because for some reason people don't like Will and Kira. Oh, Will and Kira had a date last night and everyone was like, are you going to ask her to be your girlfriend? Are you going to ask her to be your girlfriend? He was like, no. And he didn't. He's like, I'm not into labels. Like, I want to see what happens on the outside before I ask her to be my girlfriend. Which is so easy because I'm falling for you. It's just like being someone's girlfriend is not that big of a deal. It's not like an engagement.
Yeah.
So it was like really weird. Kira was literally trying so hard to pretend like she wasn't upset about it. But all the girls were like, before the date, they were like, do you think? And she was like, I don't know. And then when she left, Olivia was like, I actually just spoke to Will and he said he's not going to ask her. So they were like, eek. So then when she came back, they were like tiptoeing around it. And she was like, no, it's fine. Like, she's obviously upset, but like, she's just like a pick me girl. Like, she's like,
they're the weirdest couple. When Shannon
people
and Josh,
don't like them.
When Shannon and Josh got back from their one-on-one and they panned to Will and Kira's faces, it was such sour grapes from them. Like, they can't win.
No, and now that Shannon and Josh are gone, like, they think that it's the Will and Kira show. Like, they're trying so hard to be extra cute. Like,
they don't know how to be cute.
I don't know who can win, because here's the thing, Olivia and Corey, I don't think people like them. I think people see through like the charade, excuse me. And Will and Kira, for some reason, like, they've done nothing wrong. They're, like, people just don't like
they're
them.
They're extremely unlikable.
So honestly, when Ariel said America's couples have voted, and the first person that came out of her mouth was Andre and Trina, this like random couple, he just chose her because he was going to choose Olivia, and Olivia chose Corey, and or Corey chose Olivia, and there was like two girls left, and he just chose Trina. I guess like he thought she was nice, like for no other reason. But like, I just want Trina's actually, now that if you look at it like from a glance, like, she's been through the most on this show, and she's really held her head up high with dignity, and she's a good friend, and she was, I think she deserves to win, like, not even with Andre.
I agree. We should be able to vote for a solo player.
We should be able to vote for Shannon and Josh.
We should.
Because up until this point, they put the entire show on their back.
I agree. I was thinking that too, but I don't think they'll do it.
I just think they should.
I think so too.
And the show has a visible difference without them.
Yeah.
Now, the other things I watched over the weekend was Love is Blind after the altar reunion.
Okay.
Everyone and it was talking about so it. Atrocious. Like, you really don't need to watch it. But it was funny just to, like, see everyone back in the saddle. It's so scripted. Like, update is like Amber and Barnett are still engaged. Amber literally, I'm sorry, they're still married. He sold his house to pay off, they made it seem like her student debts, and now they're living in Amber's apartment with a roommate. But Lauren Hamilton's husband, Cameron Hamilton, said on an Instagram Q&A, like, the editing made it seem like it was for her student loans, but it was actually for his. So I was like, okay, because I'm like, what is this man doing?
They keep doing that to her. Yeah. They did that to her during the show, and she spoke out about it.
Yeah,
like, they did it again. And it's really wrong.
They did it again, because Cameron was like, it was for his student loans. But they just, like, kind of have this miserable life where, like, she had a seizure. She was diagnosed with epilepsy, so she's really concerned about her health, and she wants to have babies. Barnett has, like, a checklist of things. He wants to be out of this apartment. He wants to make enough money. He wants to have their own house before they start having kids. So they're having dinner at their in-laws, and she pulls her mother-in-law, Barnett's mom aside, and they're talking about this timeline, how it's, like, really bothering her. Like, she's ready, and, like, he's not, and, like, it's never going to be perfect. Like, we should just, like, start having kids. And basically, the mom was like, you know, he's the breadwinner, and in the Bible, you know, he's in charge, and being a woman sucks. Like, that's literally what she said to Amber. And Amber didn't even, like, flinch. It was the weirdest conversation. So I do feel like, at first, I'm like, you know what? This is such a weird couple that ended up being cute. The more I got to know them, they're super toxic. And she is so scary. Like, Barnett is not allowed to talk to Jessica.
I like her so much.
No, you won't like her after the special. She's really toxic. Like,
but can I ask you something? Aren't they famous? Don't they get Instagram ads?
It makes no sense. Amber has 1.5 million followers. I looked at Barnett's Instagram. He was doing a million ads. Like, that shit pays. There's no reason you should be living as a married couple in an apartment with a roommate.
Yeah, and that, like, you have to feel like your husband is the breadwinner. Like, she can work.
No, but, like, for the anniversary, he, like, made this video, like, because Cameron Hamilton made a speech for Lauren, and it was the whole premise of the show is that they're throwing a 2-year anniversary party for the two couples that got married. So Cameron made a speech for Lauren. They're literally the best couple on planet Earth.
And it all's good.
Perfect. You could cry. Like, his speech, he was crying. It was just stunning. And everyone was like, we want what they have. And then Barnett put together this little video of, like, how he goes to work every day. He kisses Amber because she's still asleep. And it was, like, supposed
Stop.
To
be. That's so mean.
It was supposed to be a cute video. But I'm like, oh, she doesn't work. Like, that's literally what I took away from the video.
I need to go see if she's
doing
that.
They're just their whole money thing. Like, it just feels really toxic. Like, and Jessica, like, the show ruined her life. Like, it did. And she's like, literally, I was the most hated person on reality TV. She moved to LA. She has a boyfriend who's a surgeon. He obviously did not come because, like, she was not going to subject him to this toxic
Why
environment.
Why did she come?
She must have gotten paid, or she must have really cleared wanted to clear name. The air, because, like, she must not be this crazy person. Maybe the show got her at a bad time. She is still 34 and Mark is still 24. I just wanted to update everyone on that. Even though 2 years have passed, they're still 34 and 24. Is that Ben?
Oh, my God. That's Ben.
What are you doing here?
Come in.
You can come in and sit. We have to finish podcasting. What a stalker. Oh, my God. Showing up to the studio. Hi. We're in the middle of podcasting. So what was I saying before I was interrupted by my husband?
Oh, it's 12 o'clock. That's why. This is the longest episode. You were saying he's 24. She's 34.
Oh, yeah. So she probably came back on to clear her name. And she brought Tiffany gifts for both of the couples. And she was, like, avoiding Amber and Barnett the whole time because she was, like, afraid. And then she goes up to Barnett to give it to him. She's like, I just want to say, like, sorry for everything. Like, I'm really happy for you guys. He, like, literally could not speak. He was like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not allowed to talk to you. Like, and ran away. So Amber is definitely, like, very controlling. Do you remember that girl, LC?
Yeah.
She, like, had an initial connection with Barnett, but he said he didn't want to choose her, just like he didn't want to choose Jessica. Turns out she dated Mark.
I think I knew that. And, like, literally recess of my mind.
For 6 weeks. And then he got a girl pregnant and he was dating, like, 11 other girls at the time. So Amber's best friends with Mark. And Amber's just, like, taking up for Mark. being mean to Elsie, and it's just like showing like everyone who had a connection with Barnett, Amber is going to find a reason to hate. Now, yes, what Jessica did was inappropriate, but like they were on a TV show. It was 2 years ago. Like, can we move past it? She apologized at the reunion. Amber got her say. Amber had her moment. Like, you're so disingenuous. Remember? Like, she had her moment. She won't let it go. And it's just like, she started crying like after Barnett like walked away from her and like really embarrassed her. She just started crying there with her Tiffany bag of gifts and like didn't have, I did feel bad for her. Then the whole drama with Giannina.
She said, what's going on?
Damien's her person. Like, Giannina's so cringy, like when she talks, like she's crying, yeah. Like in lunch, like he's my person. Her mom refers to him as her son. I'm like, oh my God, they're so going strong. They've been together for 2 years. They got through him leaving her at the altar. So apparently when he was in LA, he went to dinner with like a bunch of influencers, left a restaurant holding hands with Francesca Ferrago. They said they're just friends, but like, why are we holding hands? Like, it was,
we saw
weird.
Those pictures.
Yes. We reported on them because we thought it was weird. Then she's in Atlanta for a photo shoot the same weekend of this party, and he invited her because he was telling us and like that he wanted to invite her because she's a friend. Like, why wouldn't his friend come? And, you know, he wanted to clear the air between her and Giannina. He kind of made it seem like to Francesca, like they had a future, and he didn't tell her what to wear to the party because she
why
showed up in a crop top.
Why would Francesca want a future with him?
He's so beta. Like, I couldn't figure out. I'm like, he's handsome, whatever. What's wrong with him? He drives a Porsche. He's the definition of a beta fucking loser. Like, I could not stand him.
Francesca's like on top of the world.
No. She was obviously paid to do the show. Like, it was so scripted.
I don't think she's like sitting home waiting for Damien to call.
No. Literally, it was so stupid. And then like Giannina was totally blindsided. She's like, why is this girl who like caused a huge problem in our relationship being invited? And he was like walking around the party with her, like didn't even, like if Giannina ever gets back with him, she has literally no self-respect. It was so disrespectful, but it was also staged. Like, I don't know what to believe. Like,
right.
It was good. That's what I'm saying. It was like not a real reunion. It was like a waste of your time, but it was funny to like to see everyone back together, especially like the people, like that girl, honestly, I can't remember any of their names, like the besides, oh, but Diamond. She was the star of the entire show. She was just giving the best commentary. She's friends with a lot of the people. Carlton did not show up, the guy who left her after she just expressed a little frustration that he didn't tell her he was bi after getting engaged to her. So like, right. It was just misleading. She wasn't mad that he was bi. She was mad that he lied. And he was going to go to the reunion and had a conversation with Lauren Hamilton and blew up at her and then just decided not to participate in the special anymore. It was really weird. And I felt bad for Lauren because Lauren was like there as a friend. Lauren could understand what he was going through. He's talking about like a lot of biphobia in their community. And then he just like attacked Lauren. And Lauren was like, don't degrade me like because you're upset. Like, and then he just disappeared. So he never got to say his piece. And honestly, he may have made himself look worse than before.
Right. And maybe if he came, he'd make himself look even worse.
Yeah. So he should have never just agreed to participate because I had forgotten about him, you know?
Right.
And so that's all. I also watched OBX, but I want you to watch it so we can talk about it in depth.
Is it pertinent that I watch it?
It's really good.
Like, oh, wow.
Except
that's
the
exciting.
Last episode is the longest episode and it just like is so stupid. Like, I can't.
That's exciting.
It's really good though. Like, I think you'll enjoy it. So I just watched so much TV this weekend and I really enjoyed it. Now I feel like I'm really fully caught up on everything.
I'm so happy for you. And like, you're back to being whelmed.
Yeah.
You know, because you were overwhelmed with the Olympics now and now whelmed. You're just back on track.
So we literally went so long. We have a meeting that we have to get to.
So we've got to go.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. The Society Season 2. Leave a comment on our most recent Instagram of the emoji of the light bulb because we're constantly giving you bright ideas. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Bye.